What is up, everybody? My name is John Sparks. I am your host for Sparks of the Paranormal. And I want to say a huge thank you to everybody out there that's been showing love and support on the Instagram, the Facebook page, all the podcasting platforms. You guys freaking rock, man. Seriously, thank you so much. And I think we're all really enjoying this journey together as we learn more about UFOs, cryptids, spirits, ghosts, demons, everything that goes bump in the night. And if you guys want to support the show, guess what? I just dropped merch. That's right. If you go to the Instagram page or you go to the Facebook page, you'll find a link there. It's going to get you some sweet, sweet paranormal swag. Maybe some dope hats, some wicked sweet t-shirts, maybe even a bandana for your paranormal pup. That's right. Grab a bandana, slap it on that pup. I want to see a picture on Instagram. With that being said, grab a seat, kids. Get ready, because it's about to get crazy on a brand new episode of Sparks of the Paranormal. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast. I am your host, John Sparks, for Sparks of the Paranormal. Thank you to everybody who listened in to my episode last week with Mr. Tony Bruschi of The Grave Talks and Real Ghost Stories Online. That was a great episode. I really enjoyed doing that. And then also, next week, we've got another really good episode coming up. But today, I am sitting down with somebody who has been investigating for years. Not only that, but she is now training other investigators, which is fantastic because nobody needs to go out there without any idea of what they're doing. It's my pleasure to introduce to you Miss Lyndia Johnson. Miss Lyndia, how are you?
I am doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm absolutely fantastic. So, you've got a lot going on right now. What are you working on?
Oh, let's see. I have Twisted Paranormal, which is a Amazon Prime movie series that's going on that we start taping on November the 14th. We have another paranormal investigating series called American Dead, which will also be featured on Amazon Prime, which starts December 5th, and a couple documentaries that I can't talk about yet, but in the works, and lots of events where I bring out paranormal investigators, skeptics, and enthusiasts, and teach them what to expect and how to do things properly and stay safe.
That's wonderful, because like I said earlier, you know, if you go out there without experience, you are dealing with unseen forces. So what are some of the techniques that you try to teach people?
Well, one, never ever provoke anything that you don't know anything about.
That's true.
I try to tell everybody to treat the unseen as if it was your grandparents. Show them the respect and love that you would your grandparents, you know? I mean, regardless if it's, you know, something aggressive, I don't like using a D word, or, you know, if it's a mean entity or whatever, you know, they still deserve that respect, you know? There's usually a story behind why they're mean.
Yeah.
You know, go in with an open mind and, well, I mean, there's, you know, just try to respect everybody's space, including the people that are investigating with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, by you provoking any other spirits, you know, you're also putting other people's lives in danger, or, you know, they could possibly get hurt as well.
Yeah. Now, I've seen the video. Speaking of things happening, you were at the Haunted Hill House with our friends Pete and Sarah from PNS Paranormal, and you had an incident on a staircase. What happened there?
So, you know, we had an IDC device running, and my name always seems to get called. So I went upstairs, you know, and asking the spirits, all right, you called me up here, what do you want? And I wasn't getting any responses back or anything. So I said, well, I'm going to go ahead and go downstairs. If you really want to talk to me, go ahead and say my name. So I started walking down the stairs, and my name came through really lightly. And I said, no, that's not good enough. You're going to have to say it a little bit louder. And I went all the way down to the end of the stairs, and it screamed my name, Lyndia. Oh. I was like, okay, a promise is a promise. So I went back upstairs to the top of the flight of the stairs, and decided that I was going to sit down. I felt like I needed to sit down instead of stand up. Thank God. anyways, I sat down. I'm trying to have a conversation with the spirits there. And something kind of brushed up against my face, or you could see in the video where I'm kind of rubbing my face or scratching my nose or something, and I get shoved down the stairs.
That's just fun, you know? Good old-fashioned family fun.
It was more like, it seemed like it was a playful, like somebody was pushing me down, like if I was going down slide at a kid's park.
Just horseplay.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it was a aggressive push, but it was a push nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, you still went down the stairs.
Yes. And we all laughed about it, honestly. It was like, did you see that? That was amazing.
I don't know how I would react, honestly, if I was just sitting on the stairs. I mean, I'm a big dude, so if somebody, like, shoved me down the stairs, I'd be like, okay, maybe that one wasn't playful, but, yeah. Like, I don't... to just be sitting there chilling, having a conversation, somebody's like, ha-ha, you're my friend, and then just shove you down the stairs.
Yeah. there are a couple kid entities that reside at Haunted Hill House that are playful, and you know, and I do interact with those children more than anything.
Yeah.
So I don't know how to explain it. I can pick up on those things, but I felt like it was one of the kids trying to play with me, if anything. Yeah.
That's still a big push.
It was.
So in your years of investigating, what is your favorite place to go?
Ooh. You know, every location that I go to is so unique in its own way.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a very hard thing to answer, you know. Mm-hmm. The Ballinger Hotel in Ballinger.
Mm-hmm. That's got to be intense.
It has to be, you know, that's definitely on my top of my list.
Yeah.
The Haunted Hill House.
Yep.
That's my number two. OP Pile House in Mineola, Texas.
Ooh, yeah.
It is phenomenal. The Jefferson Hotel, for different reasons.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like I say, each location has a different level of haunt.
Yeah.
And let's see. Waverly Hills.
Yeah.
Absolutely scares me, but I love that place.
Yeah, I could, no, I don't think I would, I don't think I'd walk in the door.
Well, you know, I actually had a REM pod, literally, the amount of energy it had to take to toss my REM pod up against the wall and shatter it was just amazing. But yeah, that was pretty intense that night. The Lizzie Borden house.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother level of haunt, you know.
Yeah, I'm quite surprised because I know a lot of people say that it's haunted, and I've seen people go and haven't gotten anything.
Well, I feel when you walk into a haunted location and you expect and you expect and you expect, I feel that kind of deters away from the interaction that you will get. You know, don't expect so much and you'll end up getting a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. If you go looking for it, it's a watch pot never boils, basically.
Right, exactly.
Oh, wow.
And just like... you know, with people who come to locations, like on my hosted events, you know, I have several people who wants to provoke.
No.
And I'll tell them, you know, I'll ask them to leave my group, but sometimes I can't catch them all the time, and they'll sit there and provoke, and, oh, well, nothing's happening, because they want to see somebody get scratched or hurt or something, you know?
No, quit being a turd.
You know? just don't provoke.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this, and I think you and I are of the same mind. You know, you mentioned it earlier. Dead people are still people.
Yes, they were a person at one time. Sometimes you do come across things that are not of human.
Yeah.
You know, but for the most part, they were all human at one point.
Yeah.
And, you know, they all lived a life.
Yeah. But, you know, if you're a jerk in life, chances are there is a high possibility that you will be a jerk in death. But
yeah,
respect is still respect.
Life, you know, or, you know, a psychopath in life, you probably died that same person, and you're going to continue to be that same person.
Yeah.
And see, and that's the thing about the paranormal field, is to find out, is there a way to get spirits to change their way? Is there... You know, this is questions that all hits us in the back of mind. Can you send an evil spirit to the light?
That's an interesting point.
I mean, how many people has ever asked a spirit, do you actually see shadow figures like we do? Are all shadow figures evil? I mean, these are like valid questions that a lot of people need to try to find out.
Yeah, or, you know, are some shadow people just like obscure skater boys hanging out and loitering?
Right.
I mean, these are great questions. Like, I've honestly, that's one that has crossed my mind. Is it possible, as an investigator, a sensitive, a psychic, a medium, whatever, is it possible to actually send a negative into the light? That is an interesting concept.
Yeah, and it's something that I'm going to strive to try to find an answer to. You know, I mean, can the dead feel remorse? And the dead decide, you know, I don't want to be this bad person. I want to leave this realm.
Yeah.
You know, I just need help doing so.
Yeah, I heard a podcast a couple weeks ago about a guy that says that he is an angel medium, and that they tell him, like the angels tell him, that I guess hell is more like a short-term punishment. And then they're allowed to be judged. Like, the punishment fits the crime. And it's just an odd concept to me. Is it possible to take them from this realm and give them that opportunity to, like, bypass? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, get out of jail free.
You know, I have an angel medium friend. Very, very protected young lady, mm-hmm. who's in this field, you know, who feels that same thing, you know, that that gentleman you talked about, and feels that she could actually help fallen angels get back,
that's,
you know,
intriguing.
And be good again, you know. So it's an interesting concept, an idea.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's possible, but I'm willing to try.
Yeah, it's just, it's one of those conundrums that I could spend, you know, hours theorizing and hypothesizing and never come to an actual answer. So, I gotta ask, what is your favorite, or give me some highlights of evidence that you found that are just some of your favorites of all time?
Favorite evidence. Well, unless it's documented evidence, it's just hearsay on my point.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was on an Indian reservation. You know, we sat there and put offerings out, brought them tobacco and asked to sit on their land. And I asked to be surrounded by the presence of who all resided there. My cameras didn't pick it up, but the two people I was with all clearly saw four apparitions appear before us.
Wow.
I mean, looked like just you and me. They weren't see-through. I mean, they weren't whole.
Yeah.
But they looked just like you and me. And I was mind blown, and that's probably one of my favorite things that ever has happened to me.
Those Indian reservations.
Which makes me strive more to you know, run more, you know, cameras and lighting and stuff. But unfortunately, I'm that type of paranormal investigator where any kind of equipment I touch or bring out, it fails. It's like, it seems like, you know, the spirits actually want me to just be me to get the interaction.
It's like, aha, Lindia, nice try, but no, not today.
So, so it's always a flashlight, a recorder, and, you know, SB7 every now and then. No, doing the Estes method. Thousand rods, you know. It's just the most basic of a basic equipment for me. It seems like I get the most responses and the best kind of evidence, you know. You know, hearing their voices on the recorder.
Well, especially like a place like a reservation or someplace that is known to have been, you know, heavily populated by the Native American people, that probably like dowsing rods would be a great way to do it, because that's what they used to find like water.
Absolutely. You know, and you try to bring in, you know, no matter what location, you know, using little trigger objects or... No, trying to bring in things that are, you know, that are associated with that land and that time.
Yeah.
You know, and it's amazing what kind of interaction you can get if you could just jog memories of the spirits, you know, and say, hey, do you remember this? You know, or...
It's crazy what can happen when you take the time and really research and think about where you're going and go, hey, what would be my best method? Not just a run and gun with a million cameras and, you know, a bunch of stuff. Like, you know, that Indian reservation. Like, it just doesn't make sense to go out there with extensive amounts of equipment that is probably going to scare people that were frightened by... You know, cameras back in the day, just a regular photo camera. They were frightened by those. Why would you bring that out into the field knowing that that would make them uncomfortable and probably run?
Exactly. You know, and I'm thinking about doing another Indian reservation in Texas that I just found out about from where my friend lives. And we want to try, you know, doing smoke signals, taking pictures, you know, and seeing if we can catch anything in the smoke. You know, it's just different approaches to see if you can get a different result.
Yeah, like I said, it's just smart to sit down and think about what your best plan of attack is going to be going into where you're going with who you're trying to contact. So, like, if you're trying to talk to Alexander Graham Bell, you want to bring out his phone. Not a phone. See if you can get his phone.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Or something extremely similar to it, you know? I mean...
Like, if you want to get a hold of Aunt Ethel, you grab Aunt Ethel's crock pot and see what happens.
Right.
So, what made you want to start training people?
Because the paranormal events that I host, you know, I just sat there and witnessed all these enthusiasts and skeptics. I was at a location and another paranormal investigator who was still green, you know, sitting there provoking spirits, and like three people really got hurt that night. And, you know, really bad attachments and whatnot. And that kind of infuriated me that there's so many investigators out there that are willing to put other people's lives in jeopardy because they want to put on a good show, or they want the spirits to put on a good show.
Yeah.
And it really, really upset me, the lack of knowledge that some of these investigators have.
Yeah.
So that's why I decided to mentor the new generation here in Texas right now. Hopefully I can branch it out a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to mentor as many people that's coming into this field. Come investigate with me. I won't even charge you for my event. I want you to work side by side with me at a few events. I want to teach you the right way. I want you to know how to capture real evidence and not think that every little thing is evidence.
Yeah. And that's a big thing.
Know what paradelia is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I want our future generation to do it right.
Yeah.
Bring science into it.
Yeah, and the problem is...
debunk everything until you can't debunk anymore.
Exactly. The problem is the fact that all of these new generation people, a lot of, you know, people that grew up with these shows that are on TV, don't understand that a lot of times, not all of the time, but a lot of times, some of these shows are playing for the camera.
Absolutely. And that's another thing I do express to them. I do express to them that all the shows do this, but quite a few. It's all about ratings. It's all about to get people to watch, and they're not showing, you know, what actually happens, and they're not telling people, you know, they're fabricating a lot of what they show.
Yeah.
You know, and it's basically all for ratings, and I couldn't be more disgusted at some of these shows, really.
Yeah. I get that, and I feel the same way, and it's just, like, I don't know. I grew up watching a very different set of shows. And shows that were scientifically based, and it wasn't all about just hearing stuff and assuming that that's what it is. And it's, I don't know, it's just, it's upsetting that so many new believers or investigators are relying on the shows that are out there now.
Yes.
Pay attention, guys. Pay attention to what you're watching.
There's more people out there like me who wants to strive for this. And I know there are a lot of us feel exactly the same way. They feel the same way that I do. Mm-hmm. You know, I just hope there's more people out there who's willing to take time out of their busy schedules and teach as many people as you can.
Yeah, yeah. I completely agree. So I'm actually going to use this second for a call to action. If you guys have been out there and you know what you're doing properly and you understand the scientifics and the debunking and everything that is supposed to go into it, to take every moment and try to find a way to prove without a shadow of a doubt that there is no other way that it can be explained. If you are that kind of person, I am calling you and pleading with you right now, get out there and start teaching, please.
Absolutely. Whether if it's only 5 minutes or 5 hours of your time, just that little bit of knowledge can go a long way in the future of paranormal investigation.
Exactly. And I know just the time that Pete and Sarah spent with you, they soaked up so much knowledge, and they were just so excited. You know, I talked to them right before you actually were able to sit down with them and do the investigation, and then the day after, and they were like, we learned so much, we were doing it wrong.
And see, and that's what brings me a lot of joy too, is to see their pure joy of actually finding real evidence and doing things right. And not pushing the limits all the time. You know, you don't have to push limits.
Yeah, there's no huge network, you know, filming you, and you're not trying to sell ratings.
Right.
You are trying to prove that this is not actually happening.
Yeah, right. And, you know, and if nothing happens in a location, doesn't mean that it's not there, you know.
Exactly.
Take it for what it is, come back and try again.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean the place isn't haunted. It means that maybe it just wasn't the right time.
Yeah.
You know, in a
proper investigation.
Take it for what it is. Don't be disappointed. Enjoy the experience that you did have and move on to your next location, or try again at the same location until you do get something.
And that's a great point, because, you know, like any kind of investigation or research, whatever you want to call it, proper research and investigation isn't just 3 hours in a house.
Right.
It's time. It's effort. That's why there are some shows that are out right now that I love, because they take a full week, or they take 3 full days, and they hang out in a place just living there and being there so they can experience any part of it. It takes time.
I tell you what, I've been doing, I also do residentials, you know, trying to help people understand what's going on in their homes and whatnot. I've been working on this one residential for over 5 years.
Exactly.
And, you know, and each week or, you know, every 2 weeks I go back and do some more investigation. And I'll, you know, and I actually involve the homeowner so they can learn and experience and understand what's going on. Instead of sending them off and doing an investigation, I want them right there next to me so they can understand and learn from me as well.
Exactly.
Because it's a process. So for 5 years, I've been working at this one location, and we're finally getting a story put together, and we're finally figuring out why this haunt is happening and who it is and what they want to tell us. And I'm happy to say so far, it's nothing bad. You know, they just want their story heard. They want to be acknowledged.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's what I believe is if I liken spirits to children, and I've said this in several episodes, but, you know, if you ignore it, you know, like when a kid comes up, hey, listen, and you just ignore it, it gets louder. It gets more intense. And then you're going to think, oh, my house is haunted by something negative. No, you didn't stop and listen.
Right. Exactly. You know, and that's what I definitely tell. If it's not paranormal investigators, it's other, you know, skeptics and want to be believers, you know. You have to listen. You need to open your mind, your heart, your body, your soul, everything, to really listen and feel. Trust your senses, trust your intuitions.
Exactly. And, you know, I don't normally mention shows that are fiction in my podcast, but think of it like the X-Files. I want to believe, I take the time, I investigate.
Yes.
So, it's that simple. It may take a lot of time, but if you want what you're looking for and you want to find it, take that time.
Yes. Nothing happens miraculously overnight or in the next 5 minutes or whatever. If you do get something in 5 minutes, wonderful. But don't just stop there. Continue to dig. Dig until you can't get any more responses or evidence and compile that story together. Yeah. It's like writing a book or, you know, doing a police investigation. They don't stop until they hit a roadblock.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, I mean, just paranormal investigations is a whole lot more than, you know, just chasing ghosts around and trying to get pushed, you know, or scratched. You know, it's a lot of hard work that goes into it, and scientific, you know, theories, and, you know, and I really, really want more people to understand that.
Yeah. Okay. So, change of subject. We're going to take it back. We're going to take it way back.
Okay.
What made you start looking into the paranormal?
Well, paranormal found me at 4 years old. You know, I had no fear of it or what's, you know, it almost came to me naturally when I was young. I'd interact with a couple kid spirits that resided in my house when I was younger. And every night, I'd go into like a trance-like state and go play ball with these kids. And my mom used to watch me push the ball towards nothing and watch the ball come back, push the ball to nothing and watch the ball, not hitting a wall, not hitting anything.
Wow.
And as I got older, I mean, it intensified and I started drawing some negative stuff. So I guess as a defense mechanism, my body kind of shut it off for many years.
Yeah.
And then when I moved to New Orleans, everything came back.
Of course.
And I started getting, you know, I met a few voodoo priestess and paranormal investigators. And I said, I want to learn what you do. I want to learn how to hone in on my skills, my gifts. And it's been nonstop since, you know. I mean, it's blessing and a curse at the same time, but it just, the unknown is, it intrigues me. I want to know more about the unknown.
Exactly. That's really cool. So have you come across something while on your investigations that has just 100% freaked you out?
Yeah, at Haunted Hill House.
Well,
Yeah, there's no telling how many spirits are in that house.
wow.
It's a legitimate haunted house, and there is evil in that house. And my last event that's not that night that I got pushed down the stairs, but the following night, I got so freaked out where I was gonna leave, but I finally found my courage and stood up to it. But yeah, I felt like I was being tormented, like being surrounded, hearing loud growls right in my ear.
That's not freaky at all.
No, not at all. Yeah, I went and sat in my car for like an hour and I still couldn't find any relief.
Wow.
And I was sitting there thinking, maybe I should just leave the property, maybe. But then I showed that I wasn't fearful of it, and I reassured the spirits that God is who my higher power is, will protect me against them. And then it kind of went away, which helped. But no, there's been several times in that place where it's just been nonstop. Let's see, it was Monday night, this past Monday night, when I decided to use myself as a trigger object to
Oh.
see what kind of interaction I would get.
Bold.
And my EVPs were like full sentences of something evil, dropping F-bombs at me. And I mean, just full sentence EVPs. It was pretty phenomenal,
Just good
but
old-fashioned
scary.
family fun, you
Yeah, I mean, I
know?
wasn't provoking at all. I just asked the spirits, what do you think about this costume? I wore the Dr. Plague mask.
Yeah.
And I had some wings on. I mean, it was just such a, it was more comical than anything, but I definitely got
You got some
serious
responses.
interaction from them, so.
Wow. That's So it seems like the Haunted Hill House is just eat up with everything.
Yes, I mean, we have Native Americans, we have bordello workers. I mean, there's just so much history there, Sam Bass's gold is hidden at the mountain behind the house.
What?
There was plague, and then in Mineral Wells, they had the crazy water.
Yep.
And so many people died from that. Literally, the city of Mineral Wells was pretty much a huge psychiatric ward.
Oh, that's fun. The entire town. So if you go in that house, you'll find a psychiatric ward, and then the Joneses actually just moved out. We've moved that into a psychiatric ward. But the diner is still open. That's wow. Mineral Wells. Okay.
Yeah, Mineral Wells, Texas, and there's underground aquifers and gems all throughout central Texas, which is huge conduit of for energies.
Yeah, both the water and the gems.
We can't help but to think that has a lot to do with all the hauntings of that town.
Yeah, that makes sense. Just a lot of things that are not just a lure, but something that will help power whatever they want to do.
Correct.
Wow. All right, mental note, need a professional if I'm going to Mineral Wells, Texas. Got
Well, you ought to come with me.
All right, it's, you know, it
I will send you that invite. Absolutely. I would love to have you.
That would be phenomenal, and I'm definitely going to need you there because chances are, even though I'm a big and imposing dude, I will probably be crying in a corner somewhere. But
That's okay. I'll bring a box of Kleenex.
okay, cool. I'll use my tears to wipe the floor up. So we'll be
Because
good.
there
We'll be
is
good.
crying in paranormal investigation sometimes.
Oh, there is 100%. I've experienced things, not even investigating, but just walking around when something's like, "Hey, you want some emotions?" And I'm like, "No, not really." And they're like, "Too bad."
Yeah, that's one of the downfalls of being an empath. You can walk into any location and feel exactly what happened.
Yep.
And it can bring you to your knees sometimes in emotion.
Yeah, that's happened to me in the middle of
I've
a
been
street.
removed from investigations with pure rage,
Yep.
and that's not me.
No.
But yeah, I had to leave, you know, because I felt like I was going to hurt somebody, or, you know, I'd just ball up in the middle of the floor and just start crying for no reason, you know?
Yep. And that's another reason why you need to investigate and have somebody around you that really understands what's going on. Just because, I mean, I know from my own experience when I first started having, you know, all of this happen. If you don't have somebody around you that you can talk to that understands, you're going to feel like you're crazy.
Right.
And you're not crazy. You have a extra sensory perception. You are catching things from someone that is no longer living. Or sometimes you walk into Aunt Ethel's house and you feel Aunt Ethel's pain.
Yeah.
So you're not crazy. You're just gifted.
Yeah. And, you know, it took me many years to accept what my abilities and everything. Mm-hmm. I really thought I was crazy for, you know, doubting myself and everything. But time after time, you know, things just kind of proved themselves to me, and I finally accepted it, and I finally came out a couple years ago. You know, I was behind the scenes investigator, and people knew who I was.
Yeah.
But I didn't care to let anybody else know about it.
Yeah.
And finally I said, you know what, it's time. You know,
it's just sometimes
investigation is a lot. It's not so taboo anymore to talk about.
Yeah.
And
that's
so,
it's good.
If people want to support me, that's great. If people want to think I'm crazy, that's great as well too.
I mean, it's okay to get support and have people think you're crazy. I mean, you know, I'm crazy, and for some reason people support me. I don't get it, but okay.
Well, I think
cool.
We all have a level of crazy if we see a shadow figure and have to run after it.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true. If I see a man in a red hat that's taller than me.
To pursue.
Yeah.
Spirits, you know. Otherwise, you know.
Yeah.
You're...
I can't remember what house it is, but somebody was like, yeah, we were walking through there, and I saw a 7-foot-tall shadow figure, and I took off after it, and I'm like, no, 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 no. I'm almost 6 foot, and if I see something a foot taller than me, I am not going after that.
Well, there's at least a 10-footer at Haunted Hill House.
Oh, cool. That's not frightening at all. Not even slightly.
Well, there's so much I could tell you about Haunted Hill House that, you know, it'll floor you. We'll save that for another date.
Yeah. I definitely want to dig into that at some point coming up here. But, you know, this has been absolutely fantastic to have you on and just hear about your passion for the paranormal, where it got started, and your passion for training new investigators. It's been a blessing.
Not just investigators, people, everybody
yeah.
who has any kind of remote interest in this, they need to learn everything
true.
And understand it, you know, understand it as much as anybody can.
Yeah, especially skeptics. Like,
yes.
I, if I took my stepdad into a place where he was like, no, there's nothing here, and then just, I mean, not that he would, but if he did start provoking, I'd be like, you're gonna get hurt, and I might too, but it's not. So it's very important, and what you're doing is incredibly important. Once again,
thank you.
Absolutely. Once again, guys, if you know what you're doing, get out there and teach. Get out there and teach. There are people that need you. But we're going to go ahead. We're going to wrap up this episode. It's been a huge blessing to have Miss Lyndia Johnson on here on Sparks of the
Paranormal. It was a blessing
to
be with you.
Oh, you've brought me joy. You have brought me joy today. Guys, let's find out what Miss Lyndia has coming up next. What do you have going on?
Let's see, next, History, Haunts, and Legends. If you're in Jefferson, Texas, please stop by. The whole town is based on the paranormal for that day. You can tour several houses, learn the history of it all, and go on paranormal investigations. I have Bonnie and Clyde Ambush Museum coming up on the 30th.
Saw the preview of that. It looks incredible.
Louisiana.
Yeah.
And that's going to be part of a project that I'm also working on.
Ooh.
And let's see what else. I have the filming of Twisted Carnival series started filming on November 14th and filming for American Dead on December the 5th.
Wow.
With much, much more in line.
So much happening. I'm blown away by everything that you have going on and what you're getting accomplished. Why, like, do you sleep?
not much. It seems like I'm being tugged in 100 different directions, but like I say, it's my passion. This is what I do. This is what I love. And I just want to share my journey with everybody and teach them everything that I could possibly teach them, whether if them watching a live video on Facebook or if they get them actually investigate with me. I mean, mm-hmm. It's all a huge passion, and just to see the looks on everybody's face after they get to investigate with me just makes it all worthwhile.
That's beautiful. Now, if you could put out your social medias and ways that people can find you and follow you.
Well, right now I'm currently rebranding and everything, so I'm starting a new website here in this week. But just friend me on Facebook, Lyndia Johnson. Mm-hmm. Yep. And you can I post everything paranormal on that page right now until I get a website and a new Facebook page started. Mm-hmm. But also go on twistedcarnival.com and like twistedparanormal.com and like, and that this will be our future episodes for American Dead and Twisted Carnival and extra events that we'll be doing. Wow. And one of our guests will eventually get to come to investigate with us.
What?
At a couple locations.
That's crazy. So guys, I don't know. I think that sounds pretty cool. So go do that. Go do that. Follow Twisted Paranormal. Follow the Twisted Carnival. Find Lyndia Johnson on Facebook and
Instagram.
Instagram, absolutely. And guys, go out there. And when you're on Instagram, you're on Facebook. Follow everybody that has to do with the paranormal. No matter how big, no matter how small. Everybody needs the love and support. So.
And everybody has something different to offer, so don't ever think that we all do the same thing. We all have something different to offer,
yep.
And we all have different experiences, so that's something that someone needs to understand and learn.
Absolutely. And with that, guys, it has been a pleasure. Stay tuned for the next episode. It's going to be another really good one. Thank you again to Miss Lyndia Johnson for hanging out with us. We appreciate you so much. We do.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. And guys,
it's been an absolute joy and pleasure to be on your show.
Thank you so much. That means a lot. And guys, I appreciate you for hanging out. This is available on all platforms. So whatever you're on, leave a review, leave a like. It doesn't matter. It's going to help the algorithm. It's going to help the show get found. And I really appreciate you guys. And we'll talk to you next time on Sparks of the Paranormal.